The New Testament believer is not just somebody who follows codes and rules. And you know the custom. You know how to behave. You know how to behave well in church. That's not the way. The faith is the word and the spirit. It's about power. That was it. How God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. And what did he do? He just sit down in church. He went about doing good and delivering those who are oppressed by the devil. That's the proof that God is with you. When God is with you, power flows from your life. But let me say this. When the Holy Spirit is upon you, power flows in your life. So today I want you to, in your prayer, desire, say, Father, I want the fullness of your power and I want to walk in it daily. If there's anything I'm missing, enlighten my understanding today. Open my eyes. You see, your knowledge is not enough. It's revelation that will make the difference. And revelation can be lost. And revelation can be gained. So you may know it, but that doesn't mean you are living in the revelation. Today, say, Father, open my spiritual eyes. Let me catch revelation of your Holy Ghost power that I can walk in it daily. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be with the people of God in the house of the Lord. Someone said today, say, you're beautiful and handsome places. Yeah? There's no one in church that is not beautiful or handsome. Because the glory of God is upon you. I would say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, he said, we all, as we unveil face, we begin to continue to behold, yet the glory of the Lord, we are being changed. We are being transformed into that same image. That means that God has a new plan for you, is to walk like Jesus on the earth. Hallelujah. I remember when I was growing up, people like said, you know, well, I've tried my best. After all, I'm not Jesus. You missed the point. That's what exactly you're called to be. And then when you see someone doing the right thing, they're like, oh, what's your own? It's too much. Are you the one that killed Jesus? I say, yes, I'm the one. And you too. We killed him. Yes. We killed Jesus. Did you know that, Sister Priya? Because Isaiah 53 verse 5 says he was wounded for what? We killed him. Hallelujah. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But you're not I, it's Christ. Say, the life I now live. How do I live it? By faith in the Son. What it means is that when you're a believer, when you accept Jesus, what you have done is that you have exchanged your life for ease. You have said, it's no longer my life. I'm no longer living for me. I am now living for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That goes down to your life. That you'll be transformed into that same image. So that as you're going to your normal business, whether at work or at play, someone needs Jesus. They find you and minister to them as Jesus. Okay? I mean, that Jesus is in the midst of some comfort, some encouragement, some word of wisdom, some word of knowledge. Yeah? They may need some prayer. They may need healing. Yeah? They will never, many of the people will never see Jesus. The Jesus they will see is who? It's you. Hallelujah. And as you continue to behold, that's why it's good to be in church. Say your neighbor comes and says, it's good.
It's good.
To be in church.
To be in church.
You know why? Because church is one of the places, or the place of fellowship, is one of the point of contact where you behold his glory. Obviously, as you continue to behold, I'm reading 2 Corinthians 3:18. Because we continue to behold, that as a believer, when I stop beholding, I lose. I diminish in glory. Hallelujah. And the reason is because God says that in the world, you will have what? Tribulation. I know it's very nice word. And you know what tribulation does? You know what Satan does to you? It's to distract you. He wants to keep you busy with that thing that is a problem, so that you don't have time to build His glory. He knows that once you continue to do that, you will never move forward in transformation. Hallelujah. But because you continue to behold His glory, we have been what? It's not something you're doing by yourself. What you were doing was just beholding. Hallelujah. But actually, it's not just to behold. There's another element there. It's that we unveil. Let's open 2 Corinthians 3:18. I don't like to preach off the word. I like to take it back to the word. In the minimum, I'm registering that scripture into your mind again. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Yes, let us also want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Yes,
let's touch it.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Please read your Bible. But we all run with open face. With open face.
Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord.
Even as by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's have another version. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Yes. Thank you, brother Tim. That was a good one. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Let's look at it. Yes.
So,
now we have Bertin's wine. On the right hand side. Go on.
So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Continue.
And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like Him.
The Lord who is the Spirit is making us more and more like Him. Let's one more version. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18.
We unveiled.
That's what I'm looking for. Unveiled faces. It means that apart from building is doing, there's one other element. The veil is removed. When the veil is removed, you have revelation. Amen? When the veil is there, all you are acquiring is knowledge. Continue.
And as we all unveil faces continually,
continually, yes,
the glory of the Lord are progressively being transformed.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! From one degree of glory,
to even more glory, which comes from the Lord,
who is the Spirit. Thank you. I just want to understand something. Let's assume that you're working with God, yeah, and God is then doing something special, like for example. You know, you have a spiritual gift, like singing, you minister and life are just transformed. It's not that, look, transformation is not excitement. You can sing everybody class and you are transformed. And you can sing everybody class and they're excited. Before they get to, they've lost the revelation. Are you with me? Don't get moved just by human emotion. Yeah? Spiritual work is deeper than human emotions. But then you do that and like a transfer. You can actually see that people are blessed. Yeah? People come back to you and tell you how their son affected the work, your situation, how God ministered to them, and how things changed. Yeah, and you're going to do that. After a while, you get used to that degree of glory. You think you're okay. Yeah. Someone says, I read my Bible, I go to church, I pay my time, I'm okay, I'm a good Christian. It's just a degree of glory. That's not God's plan for your life. God is never stagnant. God's plan is to move you from one degree of glory to another. Wherever you are now, in God's plan, there are greater treasures He wants to bring out in your life before you die. And by the way, I'm not planning to die. What am I planning to do? I'm planning to be raptured. Yeah, I'm telling you, there's an effect you have on me. Because in all my ways, I'm not thinking of dying. Even when someone shows up now, the first thought that comes to my mind is not, oh, this thing will kill you. No, I'm not planning to die. I'm planning to be raptured. And I'm planning to run that race. Yet, on to finish line. Hallelujah. See, you said I'm a finisher. I'm not planning to go down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's a degree of glory you are right now. And you may think you're okay. You may think about, okay, before I was a Christian, I knew what I used to do. Now I'm a Christian. My life is much better. I'm okay. Amen? God might have been using you. You know, maybe you went up to preach and so and said, I'm okay. You know? Or you have a spiritual gift that you're using, and you know, life has been blessed with you. Okay. No! That's just a degree of glory. But Bible says that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, the heart of man has not conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But those things are being revealed to us. Let's go now from that version. Progressively. It's progressive by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. God has something better for your life. God has something more glorious for your life. Don't stay at the level you have. Be prepared for all of God. Because your life is taking the way. I know you are young, but your life, I remember when I was 20, your life is taking the way. Yeah? But make it count. Hallelujah. Say, I will make it count. For the kingdom. Not just for the NHS. Hallelujah. Imagine how many years, I don't know how many years you put into NHS. We put some good years there, alright. Hallelujah. I'll make it count. Not just for the bank. I'll make it count. For what? For the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Open to John. Let me ask you my first question. John chapter 20. I said before that, before you open to John chapter 20, first question. When exactly do we know that the disciples got born again? So you know Jesus had 12 disciples. Yeah? Peter, James, John. Yeah? Any other one? Matthew?
Yes.
You? Disciples of Jesus? Give me a name. Peter, I said it already.
Andrew,
yes. Andrew. And Andrew, you know that name, yeah? Yeah? And you know who Andrew was? Peter's brother. Yes? Judas, yes. Until he betrayed him.
Bartholomew.
James, son of Alphaeus, yes. There were two James, yes.
Bartholomew,
yes. And you know, Matthew, also called Levi.
Judas.
Yes, someone said Judas. Okay, there are two Judas, yes. There's Judas, and then Judas is the one who betrayed. Yes? So you had Thomas, thank you. Okay, let's stop there. So you have all this story, yeah? Question is, when did they get born again, or were they always born again? And there's a reason I'm asking you that question. Yes? Let's have one or two answers. Just give a short answer. Try not to speculate. Yeah, I thought you were there. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I'm used to the youth. I'm not going to put support, okay? Yes, when did these disciples of Jesus get born again? Or were they always born again? Anyway, think about it. It's a big question. It's a question I didn't think of before. But gradually, I don't know. Actually,
you can ask.
Yeah,
please.
Go.
They don't get born again
at the same time. Okay, to help you, I'll say yes and no. So, majority of them did. Some, one or two missed it. Yes?
When,
I come in the...
The first test that got born again.
Yes.
That was the question. The Pentecost, when they went to the guy and
fire. Okay, so when they were speaking upon them in Pentecost after Jesus has gone.
Oh, yes.
Okay? Yes? Let's have another one. Yes, go for your answer.
When Jesus resurrected,
yes. Any other answer before we go to the Bible? Don't give me a robotic answer. Yes, God.
There have been saints in every age of human history, but in terms of the actual church, it's got to be Pentecost, because without the regenerated power of the Spirit, no one gets born again.
Okay.
If I would say,
yeah.
I understand there was a point where Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Spirit." And this seems to be a point of confusion, that at that point they did receive the Spirit, but I think Scripture is clear that the Holy Spirit was not yet given.
Okay, thank you. So I've had all my answers. We didn't get the answers. I found my answer. So let's go to the Word and see it. And the reason why I'm asking this question is to show you the difference between the Holy Spirit we did, which I've been preaching on for a while, and the Holy Spirit upon. There is the Holy Spirit within. Yeah? And there is the Holy Spirit upon. And there is a difference. And obviously we need to show that word. And then you understand why, although you are born again, and we've explained for the last three sermons that when you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. But that's the way Jesus lives in your heart. You know, you said Jesus lives in your heart. But how? Have you seen it? It's the Spirit. He said, well, you know, whoever receives my Father, and I will come and dwell with. How do they do that? Through the indwelling Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You cannot be a son of God and not have the Spirit of God within you, in your spirit. Hallelujah. Now, it is possible to have the Spirit of God in your spirit and also have the Spirit of the devil operating your mind and your body. Amen. Possible. And that explains what we witness. You see, anytime you allow the devil a foothold, he will take advantage. He's a thief. He's what? Thieves don't have the permission. They look for loopholes. Are you with me? And that's why you have a responsibility to make sure that you don't create a foothold for the devil. Hallelujah. And one of the things that can create a foothold for the devil in your life is disobedience. Right, and it's not God working against you. Amen. He just, I always say to someone, say, go to the top of a building now. Yeah, doesn't matter if you speak in tongues, doesn't matter what the scripture gives you a prayer. You go to the top of a building and you throw yourself down. All the GPs and the doctors will gather. Yeah? To help you pack your bones if you are still alive. I'm just trying to tell you that there is a law of God. The law of gravity is the law of God. Amen. Not in the Bible, but there are physical laws, there are spiritual laws. Okay? And in the spiritual laws, I would say that we are not to make a foothold for the devil. Because when you make a foothold for the devil, he can take hold of that foothold and oppress you. And despite the fact that you are born again and you have the Spirit of God in you. But what I was trying to say is that you are born again, but there's no power in your life. It's not because I said it, you know it. You've lived born again 15 years, but no power. You can't even be sure that you will pray and God will answer. I know you pray. But prayer is more like, you know, a gamble. Yeah? So I keep saying that if your prayers are being answered 50-50, it's statistically, put that as this. 50-50 means no intelligence. Yeah? Random noise. 50-50. One moment it can go low, and one moment it can go high. If you transmit a 1, 50% of the times you get a 1. And 50% of the times you get a 0. Except you have power. When you have power, and the power is much greater than the noise, then you are more guaranteed to get what you transmitted. Are you with me? Yeah. So, power makes a big difference in the life of the believer. So let's go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. Okay, someone just quickly read that for me from verse 9 to 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Who is with me? Yes, let's have our youth. So let's have one of our youth. One of our youth, let's just get them report. Anyone between 11 and 18? Romans 10, 9 to 10. Okay, that is it. You were volunteered. And I know you are able. Romans 10, 9 says, go on.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, yes.
And shalt believe in thy heart.
That now what?
God hath raised him from the dead.
Okay, just pause there. You get this myself. That's why. It is not possible for anyone to be born again if Jesus has not been raised from the dead. You know why? The price is not yet paid. Hallelujah. The price for your salvation was paid at the definite time. Yet they were Old Testament believers, but they were looking forward to the cross. And that's why all the sacrifice they made was looking forward. They would be saved, but they were looking forward. Amen? But they could not be saved until the sacrifice itself was paid. And that's why until the sacrifice was paid, they could not enter heaven either. They were in Abraham's bosom. Hallelujah. Or if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Please, verse 10. Hallelujah. So you see, the disciples, yeah, before Jesus was raised from the dead, they were believers, they believed in him. But they could not express the new birth. I just want to understand that the new birth is not just a religious thing. Like we went to church, now I'm going to church, I'm converted, so I'm born again. No. Hallelujah. The new birth is a spiritual work of formation in your heart. Now, when you are born again, the first evidence is that you will know that something has changed in your heart. Your mind may not change. Yeah? In your mind, maybe it will rub it, it may still be there. You need to renew it. Your body may not change, but in your heart, something has changed. You find out when you are born again, your attitude will go with you. Amen? God becomes your father. And you become his child. It's a supernatural work that is made possible because Jesus died and he what? He rose. Amen. So let's go to John 20. Let me be there. John 20 now. Or was it John 20? Am I right? What verse am I looking for? Verse 19. Now look at what's going on there. Just look. I know you've read this verse before, but look at it with a bit more insight. John 20, 21. No, John 20, verse 19 to 22. I'll read it. It said that Sunday, it was the same Sunday that Jesus rose. Yeah? The first day of the week. Yeah? The disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then what did you do next? Yes, somebody tell me. What did he do? What did he do? Where's my mind? Well, after telling them peace be with them, what did he have to do? Why was it necessary? What did he do? Yes? Or you didn't know?
Yeah,
you
showed
them. Yeah, go on.
Showed them.
He showed them what?
His hands.
And what?
And his side.
Why?
For them to believe that he's alive, he's resurrected.
Hallelujah. It was very important that they come to that point where they had believed in him. They believed he was the Messiah before he died. Are you with me? But he showed them so that now I'm risen from the dead. You see, I believe Romans 10 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That God, what? Raised him from where? That was causing a supernatural work in your heart. Hallelujah. They had to come down where they could believe that God was raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. And so, in our reading before, verse 19 now. Verse 22. Yes. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, for Jesus coming in blood there, like, you know, I've read that place before. And goes, we know that Pentecost came 40 days later. So what's the meaning of that one? Hello? Pentecost came on the day of Pentecost. Am I right? 40 days later. Yeah? No, 50. He ascended 40 days later. And 10 days after the ascension was Pentecost. It was 50 days from the resurrection. Pentecost was the 50th day from the resurrection. And 10 days after Jesus ascended. So they didn't wait for 50 days after Jesus ascended. They waited 10 days or 9 until 10. Amen. But he said here, he said in verse 23, receive with you. What was he saying? Hallelujah. Let me explain something to you. It's in John 2. He said, because he said the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. But the moment he was glorified, they could be born again. So the receive the Holy Spirit you see here is the new birth. So when you are born again, it's the Spirit. You are born of what? The Spirit. Either he's born of the flesh, what? Either he's born of the flesh, what? And either he's born of the Spirit, what? You see, I just wanted to lay that foundation that if we are born again, whether you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not, you have the Spirit of God living within you as an indwelling presence. Because that's your seal unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. So receive your Spirit, you see there, you just sacrifice their new birth. They just say, I'm born again. Now you are not saved. You know, we can quickly show you how to be born again. Hallelujah. What you need to do is repent and turn and believe in the Lord Jesus. Turn over your life to Jesus completely. And then receive your soul. Amen. When you are born, say, I'm born again. And I have the Spirit of the living God dwelling inside of me. Now when you don't need anyone to pray for you, and they answer you. So I'm the Spirit of God in me. When you receive Jesus, what do you receive? The Spirit. You know, just as I said, I will send you the Comforter. But I will say another Comforter. He comes to stand in his place. So the reason why you don't see Jesus here is because he has given you, as far as he is concerned, something better. The Spirit to live where? Within. You need to know that. You need to know that. Don't think that, you know, it's only the great man of God is working out the miracles and blinders are opening, you know, lines are growing, that have the Spirit. You know? If you are born again, you have what? The Holy Spirit. But that's the indwelling presence. Is the Holy Spirit within. Now let's go to Acts and see the difference between the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. The Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon. Or like you say, between receiving the Holy Spirit and being filled. Someone say being filled. Say filled. Hallelujah. There's a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit and new birth and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's say praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
The Lord is good.
Okay, Acts 1 verse 8 quickly. Let's have another person read. Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 8. Yes, who are going to read today? Acts 1 verse 4 to 8. Is that Claudia? It's too quiet. Acts 1 verse 4 to 8.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the coming of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power.
But ye shall do what?
Receive
power. What was it? Power.
Power.
When will you receive power? After you fasted and prayed? No. But fasting and praying is important. Don't misunderstand. Fasting and praying is an opportunity to wait on the Lord. And that definitely will bring power into your life. But that's not the original source. Amen. It's just like maintenance. Amen. Fasting and praying is maintenance. Just like if you buy a new car or a new, what else? What else can you buy that's new? A new jeans. Jeans. Yeah, you have to maintain it. Or a new shoe. You know, people don't maintain their shoes, yeah? I know something like that. It will just, what it means, you just dump it in the corner. What? Until the next time. Hallelujah. Yeah? okay, I'm not judging, it's okay. I don't mind. You know, some things, not everything is major. Some things are minor. Anyway, we have to put more energy on the major things. Yeah, and less energy on the minor things. I cannot become terribly worried because you don't maintain your shoes. Okay, you have liberty. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yeah? So prayer and fasting is maintenance that helps you to continue to operate where God wants you to be. But he said you will receive power. How will you receive power? Yes?
After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Come where?
Upon.
Hallelujah. Upon. The Holy Spirit within, and the Holy Spirit what? Upon. You know what we call the Holy Spirit upon? In modern terms, we call it the anointing. Hallelujah. Is what?
Anointing.
That's anointing. Hallelujah. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you shall be witnesses of me. It means that actually the purpose of the anointing is so that you can function as a believer in this world. Yeah? If you want to function like Jesus, you need power. Hallelujah. And that power is not primarily coming through fasting and praying. It's coming by receiving the Holy Spirit upon you. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you have received what? What do you receive?
Power.
Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, what have you received?
Power.
You may not know what you have received, but you have received power. Now, if you continue to walk about with a veiled face, you will never operate the power. And that's what I'm saying, that the only people who can receive the Holy Spirit upon, or the qualification you need, the only qualification you need to receive the Holy Spirit, yeah, upon you, is to be born again. Because the promise is unto those who believe. Hallelujah. It says, yeah, you are there, you are believers, but don't go anywhere. Stay there for 10 days. Yeah? Because you need power. If you are going to operate in this old style world, you need what? You need power. Say, so I need power. Hallelujah. You see, the Christian meeting we're talking about, this is power, this is reality. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit has come, when you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, what do you receive? Power. Your life changes. I know, it changed my life. When I go to the Holy Spirit, before, be shy, reserved, quiet. Hallelujah. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're a different person. Hallelujah. Because power comes into your life. Now, that doesn't mean you'll be the most charismatic person on earth. But it means that you will be effective. Hallelujah. You be what?
Effective.
Glory to God. Okay, one more place to read and then begin to move, you know, and begin to show you and how this works in your life. So, you know, if you ever talk to yourself, I need power. The question you have to say that, have I received the fullness of the Spirit? And if you have, then you ask yourself, why is my life not well? Something is wrong. Something. Now, if you have not, you need to. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will still go to heaven. You are born again. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But you will not live powerfully. Because you need the anointing. Say, I need the anointing. Say, the anointing makes the difference in everything. In everything. In every aspect of your life, the anointing makes what? The difference. Because the anointing enables you to do what you cannot do in your power. That's why you need power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is naturally impossible with man becomes possible in your life because of power. Hallelujah. Is in your power, you can't face the devil. He was the anointed cherub. You know what that means? He was a cherub. He was just an angel, he was a cherub. With anointing. Yeah? So in your power, say, oh, yeah, today I'm going to kick the head out of you. Yeah, you don't like it. Hallelujah. There are many of spiritual things Christians do. What you do, your demonstration does not move the devil. Hallelujah. He responds to the word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So in your power you can't do much. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, yeah, all things become possible. Hallelujah. I do not set you for a powerless life. Don't be satisfied just living the physical life. Like any other person who doesn't know God can live. That's not your calling. God has called you to live a powerful life. Hallelujah. You know what a powerful life? What is power? What, somebody give me the definition of power. Where is my mind? Yes. I'm looking for the basic definition of power. Power? I know somebody is trying Google now. I trust them. Power. Yes, that's physical. Yes.
I was going to say strength.
Strength, yes, that's good.
Effective,
that's good.
Beyond ordinary,
extraordinary, that's good, I like it.
Authority.
You know, when Jesus taught them, he said, we've been hearing many teachers, but not like this one. It's because he's teaching with authority. That's power. I'm not giving my correct answer. What is power?
Capability.
Yes, you are getting closer. Yes. Actually, I'm just looking for 4 words. Or 5. Okay, let me, for time. For time always runs out.
Operated by
motor electric. Let me tell you what about Google. I don't know. Google is not born again. It can give you knowledge, it cannot give you revelation. Hallelujah. Ability to
introduce something.
Thank you. Let's stop. It's near. Power means ability to effect change. You can't just do something. You can do it. Power is what enables you to make something change. Hallelujah. You want to move something from here to here? And you can't. You need what? You have a situation that's mesmerizing you. You've done all your best and there's nothing else. What do you need? Power is the ability to effect change. And that's what God wants every true believer to live like. He wants you to have ability to effect change in your world. And I'm not talking about science. You know what? Science is good. I'm a scientist. But science is the lowest level of knowledge in the universe. Because science keeps correcting itself. Every time they just, even in medicine, they are yeah, they publish something. Say, this is the way to do it. 10 years later, you're silently changing. You know why? Because they found something more effective. Power. Hallelujah. We're talking of supernatural power that effects what? Change. Hallelujah. And that's God's plan for your life. Amen? Say, God's plan for my life is to be able to effect change in every situation and circumstance to the glory of God. That includes also effecting change in lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Alright, let me be looking around of 10 minutes now. Acts chapter 2, let's give us 1 to 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And then we'll break that down and begin to tie it together. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Okay, who would like to read now? Someone who has not read today? Yes, I think he. Yes, verse 1 to 4.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
They were what? Oh, is that a big difference? You see, to prove that point, you never see that word used with regards to disciples before that point. Yeah? Hallelujah. You see, there wasn't a time Jesus sent them out. and they cast a demon. Yeah? Using by transferred anointing. Hallelujah. Even now you're born again. Even if you cast a demon. Amen. Even if Prophet Elijah raised the dead. Yeah? But that is when you see that word. Say, they were all healed. Say,
filled.
With the Holy Spirit. Then what happened? Immediately, as a sign of that feeling.
And began to speak.
They began. What did they do?
To speak with.
No, that's not what they did. They did what? They began. They did what? I want to say it. Say it. They did. They began. Yeah, I like the word. That's what I'm just saying. They began. It was a consequence of being filled. You know, when you are filled, what happens next? You overflow. Amen? Listen to that again. When you are filled, what happens next?
You overflow.
Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues is an overflow of the indwelling spirit. When you are filled with spirit, you are not receiving a new spirit. Same spirit. You are just entering overflow. And you need to overflow, because if you don't have overflow, you can't bless somebody else. Amen? You see, the Holy Spirit within you primarily is to bless you. He will guide you, lead you to all truth, so you can come. Yeah? It's a personal thing. But when you are filled with the Spirit, you overflow to bless what? Others. Because that's the power. Hallelujah? 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 Sorry, I told you that not all of the disciples were born again at the same time. Yeah? You know that, you know Thomas, he was not in church. You know Thomas, he was not in church on that day. The day that Jesus resurrected, Thomas was not in church. I don't know what he was doing, but he was what? He was not in church. So he missed the revelation. So naturally he asked him, hey, until I see him. And I see that I will not believe. Hallelujah. So then, not say Jesus has to show up again. The same way. You are going to just enter from nowhere. I told you that in your new body, you don't even need to fight, you will just zoom. You know, you enter words to come up as a new body. And it's not like this old body. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to my new one. But that's the one you will use to enjoy the earth. I said, you make me inherit the earth in your name. You zoom. Hallelujah. He entered it. He just zoom. Okay. Say, Thomas, come here. This is my hand. You know, because sometimes unbelief is a big problem. They always, not all unbelievers are on the same level. Some people's unbelievers are greater than yours. Are you with me? Don't always judge yourself by other people. You don't know where they are at. Yeah? Someone don't believe was greater. He almost saw. I will never believe until. He didn't say that, you know, the others just saw, they believe. He said, if I don't put my hand in, I will not believe. Thank God for the love of God. Amen? God wants to meet us at our level. Amen? He said, almost come. Put your hand in. So when someone says, ah, my Lord and my, what happened before then? You have not entered that member. He knew him before, but he got the revelation of Jesus as his Lord and his what? His God. Was it someone that asked Jesus that show us the Father, John 14? John 14. Is that Jesus? He said, I'm going. He said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, don't you know that people have been with you and you don't realize that I am the Father? And if he had the revelation that Jesus is his Lord and his God. But when he believed, he had that revelation. Hallelujah. And it became sin. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's begin to move a bit more into the power of the Holy Spirit. And we want to pray along those lines as we pray. I just want to talk a bit about power. Now, for those of us who have been filled with the Holy Spirit and you overflow, that's how I like to say it, with the gift of speaking in tongues, you meet a big thing. You need to understand Now what you received, imagine you see those people, and what came along with it was they began to speak in tongues. Now you think it's just ordinary. You think it's like something you can use for showing up. Yeah? And then imagine this, you speak in tongues, 3 minutes over. Yeah? Then you come back to understand and say, Father, that's for me now. If you don't answer me now, you know, I will pray, I will not leave here. I will die if you don't. Hallelujah. You will see something big. A gift is to be used. A gift that is not used is useless. A gift that is not used is what? This, if you have received the baptism of the Spirit and you have seen Jesus speaking in tongues, I challenge you every day. Don't speak in tongues for less than 30 minutes. Now, I'm not giving you a law, it's not a law. I'm just teaching you my experience. See what God will do in your life. See the revelation that will come to you. See the enlightenment that will come to you. See how some things will disappear. Sometimes some bad things will disappear. Because what happens is that speaking in tongues in the minimum, when you do it, you know, I'm not going to fight me, I'm going to 30 minutes. Why am I saying 30 minutes? Because many things distract us. So usually when you start speaking in tongues, you start mechanically. You know, like you start the car. That's mechanical. You know, up to that point, anything is not working. It's just battery. Have you realized it? That's why if your battery is there, what happens? Engine is okay. But battery is what? Dead. You know me? So when we start with it, it's mechanical. But as you let us say, then there's connection. The engine, which is the spirit, then can take over. Hallelujah. Many times you don't stay long enough for the engine to take over. And you know what happens? And when you keep doing like that, your battery will run out. You now say, Lord, I need to be filled again. Because I'm feeling dry. Amen? It's because you kept starting the car. It's okay. But the engine is not in gear. Amen? When you do that, what it does is it brings the engine on. The power engine. You know where the power is in? Not in the battery. Yeah? It's where? The real power to move your car. Where is it? In the engine. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, one more thing before we run up is that if you have not yet received the fullness, now if you are not born again, you cannot receive the fullness of the Spirit. You can't, because you can't break the word of God. Hallelujah. God gives the word, is salvation. Because God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his only son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have. That belongs to everybody in the world, if they can believe and receive it. But God gives to the believer, is the Holy Spirit. And it's to empower you to do the works. Starting from your own home or your own life. Hallelujah. Starting from those who come in contact with you on a daily basis. I know that about power. When you have power, it's discernible. No one just looks at you. Can you pray for me? Hallelujah. It's not something. It is not a signboard in the physical, it's in the spirit. I tell you, there are spiritual signboards. Hallelujah. They will come. Deep calls to deep. If you have something, somebody who needs it will come near you. Amen? If they are not coming, you don't have it. Or you are not using it. Amen? If you have not received, all I need to tell you is that it belongs to you. And you need to open your heart. That's all you need to do. It's a gift. Open up your heart and say, Father God, fill me with your fullness. I'm not satisfied with you. Basic. Yeah? Don't ask anybody what fullness. People don't want. They are happy. But I can just go to church and make everything. I'm okay. Don't have any other food. And God cannot take you beyond your desire. God cannot do what? Take you beyond what you want. He can't force you. God doesn't force you. God doesn't even force angels. Do you know that? You think angels are robots? No. They have free will. That's why people can rebel. Hallelujah. He said, I can say, like the Most High. They are free with God. Does, in the nature of God, he cannot force you to worship you. What he does, he will stimulate you. Yet he will nudge you. He will show you, you know, the truth. He will help. He will send you, but he will not push you. Amen? Because to God, false worship is no worship. It must be willing and bold. Hallelujah. If you are willing and ready to receive the fullness of the Spirit, today is the day. Hallelujah. And if you are doubting and say, oh, you know, I don't know, there can be a release. Hello? There can be what? In fact, speaking in tongues is one of the ways you reveal. Because basically, you have water in the cup and you drink it. What do you need? To refill. Amen? Yeah? Am I right? Now, imagine you have a drum of water at home. That's very sweet. That is a well of water. Now, your cup which you are using to affect the world has gone empty. What do you need to do? Go back to the drum and what?
Fill it.
Don't go around with an empty cup. Amen? Say, I have drum of water, so don't worry. Fill it! You can be refilled. And as you pray in tongues, you get refilled. If something else is driving your life, it's power. Hallelujah, let's rise up. Today I want you to desire the Holy Spirit power. Now if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, all I'm asking for you today is begin. You know, open, just let your heart be open. You know, I like to say that you have to do, you know, to be filled, you need to drink. If you don't drink, you will not be filled. It doesn't matter what there is in the world, if you don't drink, you will not what? Be filled. If you have received the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, then as we pray, we're going to pray in tongues. But pray in tongues differently. Many times you are worried about what you are saying. That the words you speak when you are praying in tongues is not the prayer. It's not the expression. The prayer is from your spirit. Are you with me? And I said this in the open. I said, when a child babbles, and you know, instead of saying mommy, he's saying mmm. In their mind, they are saying mommy. It's just their mouth that is not operating yet, because they're not yet reached full maturity. Amen? So, when you repeat back what they said, they don't accept it. Because that's not what they said. It only sounded that way. In their heart, they were saying what they heard. Hallelujah? So, in the same way, when you are praying in tongues, whether you are in the level of babbling, or you are in the level of full expression, doesn't matter. It's your act. So when I pray, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Zero. And that's good. Because your mind cannot interfere. So if you have seen that, pray. If you have not, but you want to, just step forward. I will lay hands on you. Step forward. It's not difficult. The only time you know this is you are not born again. When you are born again, you will receive. Okay. Another point you know this is that you are not winning. Or you are not ready. Or you are not sure. But you are willing, you are ready, so you will what? Receive. And if you never spoken in tongues, you will speak in tongues today because it will overflow from your inner man. And that is new level for your life. Power. Power. Hallelujah. 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 So as you begin to sing, you know, if you are receiving, just begin to pray in tongues. Begin to speak in tongues. Speak in tongues shamelessly. Shamelessly. Don't mind the person beside you. Hallelujah. But if you have not received, come forward. And I will lay hands on you and pray for you. And you will receive. Amen. Samuel, can you help me with the... Hallelujah. Anointing, follow me. Anointing, follow me. Follow me. Thank you. singing that song. The keyboards continue to play that song. If you have received, you know, begin to speak in tongues shamelessly. Hallelujah. Let your heart speak, not your mouth. And if you have not, come forward, I will pray for you. But you only do that if you are willing, if you are open. If you are open, that's one more of God, and I will pray for you. So let's go. Let's pray in tongues. Let's sing, sing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your presence in the midst of the